Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Now, the EU has warned that Israel's threat to suspend several aid groups in Gaza under new registration rules would block life-saving assistance from reaching the population. Israel has said that 37 aid organisations will be banned from operating in Gaza from tomorrow, unless they comply with its new guidelines requiring detailed information on Palestinian staff. Claire Sanfilippo is an emergency coordinator with Médecins Sans Frontières in Gaza, and she explained the impact such a ban may have on the Gazan people.
The Palestinian health system is decimated, essential infrastructure destroyed, and people struggle to meet basic needs. People need more humanitarian aid, not less. If MSF and other international non-governmental organizations lose access, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians will be cut off from essential healthcare.
And that was Claire Sanfilippo, emergency coordinator with Médecins Sans Frontières in Gaza. Now, with reaction on this, I'm joined by Oliver McTiernan. He's the director of Forward Thinking, which is a mediation and conflict resolution organization in the Middle East. Good evening, Oliver.
Good evening, Una.
Oliver, first of all, could you tell us a bit more about what these new requirements are and why Israel is saying that they're necessary now?
Well, I doubt if they're necessary. They're asking for these information, the local staff. Now, these organizations have always worked with local staff. I think it's, to me, and I know Gaza fairly well, I would say it is an excuse to curtail their activities, because I can understand their reluctance in providing identity and names of local staff for the very reason that we have seen what's happened over the last 2 years, how many people have ended up in prison in Israel. And I think it's a protection for their staff that they're worried about.
Yes, some organisations have said that they're concerned about data protection issues and about the safety of their local staff on the ground.
Yeah, it's a responsibility of care. And I think in practice, though, everyone knows in Gaza that if you're working for an organisation like UNRWA or one of the big aid agencies, you do not get actively involved in the activities of Hamas. And that has been so for the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Oliver, from your own experience, what do you think it will mean for the humanitarian situation on the ground in Gaza if some aid organisations aren't able to continue their work there now?
Well, I think the current situation is totally intolerable, because they're not only coping with storms and wholly inadequate shelter, but the food situation, even since the ceasefire began in October, the food situation has been dire. The only people that are getting food are those who can really afford it. The food coming in through commercial channels from Israel is not interrupted. The food that is really needed is the food that many of these organizations can provide free to the poorest people in Gaza. And I think that the people who will suffer most is the poor of Gaza. And it's shocking that we are not reminding. I'm glad the European Union spoke out, but I think we got to do more to remind Israel of its obligations as an occupying power in Gaza. It has an obligation to shelter, to feed, to provide medical care, education. All of these things are being overlooked. And I think Europe must take a more active role in ensuring that Israel obliges by what is required in international law for the protection of the ordinary people in Gaza.
And Oliver, you've been speaking to people on the ground in Gaza over the past few weeks. What have they been telling you?
Well, you know, what's really depressing is the Gazans have enormous resilience, but I'm finding more and more people are saying, how can we get out? I think the policy of the Netanyahu government has been to make the conditions so intolerable that people will want involuntary migration. And I fear that is what is happening. And unless there is immediate intervention, it doesn't look as if that will come from America, certainly witnessing what happened in the last few days in the meeting between Netanyahu and Trump, I think it will be necessary for the Europeans to step up and to act in a way that they will immediately relieve the intolerable conditions of the people in Gaza.
And as we're coming to the end of 2025 now, for next year, Oliver, do you see any hope for more stability there, or a lasting peace rather than the kind of fragile peace at the moment?
Una, I wish I could say so, but to be truthful, I am deeply worried. There's no real political vision. There's no in-depth thinking of how to address the rebuilding of the social fabric of Gaza, which is the essential, you know, putting food on the table for people, access to education, access to medical care, having some sort of legal system that functions and protects people. There's been no real constructive thinking going into that. And as yet, we don't know who will be immediately responsible for Gaza. We've got this, I would say, quasi-legal system from the UN Security Council, you know, appointing a peace committee to oversee Gaza. But what Gaza needs is an end of occupation. And I think if we see an end of occupation, we would see an immediate development for a two-state solution that I think is still possible, and the only way that Israel will ensure the security it has a right to.
Oliver McTiernan, thank you. Oliver is the director of Forward Thinking, that's a mediation and conflict resolution organization in the Middle East.